I feel like the magic has happened is when I take notes, I am writing my notes in first person, like for everything. So if I spoke to somebody and they said, you know, my son is in the military and I feel sad when he leaves, then that's what I write in my notes. My son is in the military and I feel sad when he leaves. Mm-hmm. And it's in that exchange from me to that person written out in my notes where I feel like I'm being taught true empathy, because I am now writing not from my judgment and not from my point of view, but from theirs. And it's solidified in my notes. And so that is like the catalyst for me in terms of kicking off this magical process.
This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. We have got a treat for you today. We're doing something just a little bit different. And I'm really excited about this because I actually think that singer-songwriters are one of the most interesting creative people. And I get the chance to interview an award-winning singer-songwriter, Leah Nobel. Hi, Leah. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm great. How are you doing?
Okay, first of all, you got good people working for you because I can't remember his name right now, but he emailed me because it took me a long time to get back about this interview.
Uh-huh.
I knew immediately that I wanted to talk to you, but I told him, I go, it's because of your stick-to-itiveness and you know, you constantly reminding me, hey, can we do this, that we're finally doing this. So you got good people around you, Leah.
Well, thanks. I think so, too.
All right. So the new album itself, is that called Running in Borrowed Shoes, or was that the name of just the project?
So the album hasn't been made yet, but it will be called Running in Borrowed Shoes. Mm-hmm. We've kind of we released one song over the holiday season, and then another one will come out at the end of this month. So those songs are kind of like teasers that accompany the premise of the project. Mm-hmm. And then the record will come out.
I see what you're doing. You just give us a little bit and then we want more. Give me more chocolate.
Yeah.
I got you. So what type of music influenced your sound?
I would say a combination of everything that I was played when I was young. It's pretty crazy if I go back and listen to some of my dad's favorites and some of my mom's favorites. My style is this amalgamation of of those artists. It's pretty nuts. So my dad really liked Paul Simon and the Beach Boys, and my mom really liked Enya.
Oh, yeah.
And my music is kind of this singer-songwriter blend. I have some pop sensibilities in there, but I also, you know, have this kind of mellow ambient thing going on. So the music that I listened to as a kid was big in terms of influencing my style.
Yeah, so you sort of mix, you know, folk and pop and even a little bit of alternative maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I think in general, these days, genres are really blending and bending, so it's hard sometimes to pick just one to, you know, identify yourself or your music with.
All right. So where did little Leah grow up, and when's the first time she said, I know exactly what I want to do?
I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I went to college in northern Arizona in a little town called Flagstaff at NAU.
Yep.
And I actually studied broadcast journalism.
Nice.
And I worked for the radio station, and I got about halfway through my degree, and I just realized that I didn't think that I wanted to do that. And at the time, this kind of serendipitous chain of events happened, and I was able to go to Nashville to record my first EP. And that happened smack dab in the middle of my college career. And I just knew when I was in the studio recording that I wanted to do more of that. And I definitely wanted to try to do that.
Okay. So, and for somebody who may be going after a dream like this, whether it be creative or not, any points where you were feeling insecure or you doubted?
Yeah, all the time.
That's honest.
gosh, the music industry is really hard, especially because it's constantly changing. So the minute you get your footing in terms of understanding something, it changes. And there's a lot of competition. And I think that, the thing that helps me persevere is just this underlying confidence that I have in myself, more that I just know that I can get through anything, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel very lucky to have always felt really in touch with my gut and my inner voice. And so I just listened to that. And if I knew that if any point it told me that it was time to do something else, then I would. But mm-hmm. I'm an advocate for being in tune with your gut.
Well, sure. Your gut also told you to do something really cool, which was this Running in Borrowed Shoes project, where you went out and interviewed over 100 people from all walks and races and ages and ethnicities, and you sat down and talked with them about, you know, fear and loss and joy and success. And what were you hoping to gain from that? How did that help you?
I was hoping to gain a lot of things. You know, at the time that I started working on Running in Borrowed Shoes, I really wanted to kind of make myself less of the equation. I think being an artist is kind of a very self-serving job. I spent a lot of time promoting myself and you know, asking people to support me and buy tickets and come to shows and watch videos. And I knew that I would never be able to eliminate myself completely from that equation, but I did want to do something that was more of a community effort. And so talking to 100 people, and it wasn't just talking, like, you know, I had specially formulated questions to kind of bring out vulnerable conversation. And so not only did I gain just so much insight, but I also made these deep personal relationships with sometimes strangers from having these conversations. Mm-hmm. And so that was really rewarding. But I also, when I came up with the idea, part of it was that I wanted to write about some different topics that I felt like, because I hadn't experienced myself, that I really needed to ask other people about it and to learn from them. And so interviewing 100 people just really educated me and taught me how to be empathetic as a person and a writer.
Well, the video that you did, which we will have a link on our, you know, Empower website and on my page, you have to watch this video because it's very touching. And if for nothing else, you got to watch it for Leah's dog. Okay.
Yes.
What is your dog's name? Because I wanted to pinch that little face.
He's really cute. Yes. His name is Maximo, and he is a miniature poodle.
Well,
yes.
He is, I'm sorry to say, but kind of stole the show a little
bit. He's the star, I know.
So, you know, it was great. But I also noticed you're a Rumors fan, little Fleetwood Mac there in the beginning.
Yeah.
You took that album out.
I am. That's my mom and my grandfather's record collection, and there's such treasures in there. So I feel lucky to have been gifted that.
Oh my gosh. Wonderful influences. So you're going to want to check out and click on the link for this video, because it is, it's sort of heartfelt. Some of the looks in the faces of the people that you're interviewing, I could tell that you were really making a connection, and that, that made me know what type of a person and artist you are, which I think is fantastic.
Thank you.
You are welcome. One of the songs too, that we're going to be lucky enough to hear is called Christmas in My Mind. And just because it has the word Christmas in the, do not, you know, pigeonhole it in. This is a Christmas song. It is a beautiful.
Yeah, it's not a Christmas song.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. If they have to listen to it. Okay. So
right,
what I'm going to do is let's play him a little bit of this song right now.
Now when I'm low, I just close my eyes. I'm sitting with you watching the storm roll by. Singing like Elvis, stealing sips of your wine. If it's Christmas in my mind, everything is gonna be fine. gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine.
One of the things I love is about when you say everything is going to be fine. I mean, yes. Everyone wants to hear that. What does that mean to you?
Well, that was actually a sentiment that I got from interviewing people. Part of what Christmas in My Mind was inspired by was a question that I asked most of the people that I interviewed, which was, if you could change anything about the way that you were raised, what would you change and why? And one of the themes that surfaced during that time was that people had mentioned that they wished that their parents had not fought in front of each other, or, you know, been kinder to each other, not gotten divorced, kind of stuff along those lines. Mm. But even after they would share that with me, the most like overreaching theme from that question was that people said, I wouldn't change anything because everything that's happened in my life, whether it's been good or it's been bad, has made me the person that I am. Mm. And so, yeah, I think a theme of optimism surfaced during my interviews, which I loved. And it represents the resilience of being human.
Yeah.
And that was just really powerful to me. And,
Were there any stories that really touched you or made you cry or feel something?
Yes.
Can you share one?
I cried so much during this process. A couple that stand out, it's hard to choose because I'm very emotionally attached to these people and these stories. But I did get the opportunity to interview a brother and sister who were Rwandan refugees. Mm. And I went to one of their church services and I met them afterwards, and they invited me to their home and let me ask them questions about really hard stuff. And I just felt really fortunate to be able to hear their story. And it was just so touching and powerful to me. I also got to interview a young man who has high-functioning autism, and it was really special because my brother is autistic, but my brother is nonverbal.
Oh.
So I've never been able to ask my brother anything because we can't talk to each other. And, the spectrum for autism is really wide.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee that what this young man felt is what my brother feels, but I was able to ask him some questions that I always wanted to ask my brother. And that was very emotional for me, just because it sort of gave me some understanding in terms of, you know, what the inside of my brother's brain looks like. And so that was really special.
That definitely was a gift. Now, has playing any of your music, when you play it around your brother, does it affect him in any way?
Yeah, it does. That's actually one of my only ways I feel like of communicating with him, honestly, is through my music. He loves music and I feel like he knows mine. And so that's really a cool thing to have.
Oh my gosh. That's very touching. One thing that you say in this video too is about empathy is undervalued.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, my personal belief is that empathy could solve world problems. I think like this ability for us to really try to understand and stand in the place of somebody else just brings so much positivity and so many benefits to us personally and our relationships. And I believe that could be a powerful tool for change, especially if it was really appreciated more, you know. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't just like, I think empathy is really important for the quality of art, but more than that, it's important for the quality of people and for making change and understanding each other. It just, it's a powerful force, you know.
Well, you know, you always hear about when people collaborate or they're getting ready to write music or do music about, you know, oh, this is a really personal album or this is, and you
right.
know, you don't really fully understand it until you hear stories like yours where you're yeah. getting it now. This is personal.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Now I'm looking at the picture that went along with everything about mm-hmm. you standing there with the piece of glass and the
yes.
one side of it. How did that come about? And is that going to be the cover?
Yeah. So we took a series of pictures just kind of to accompany, the video and the premise for the project, and it may become the cover. I don't think that's determined yet, but, the man in the other half of that glass, is a man that I met at the senior center. He's 85 years old, and those pictures were actually taken on his 85th birthday, which was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And he was such a sport, and he had never, you know, gotten his picture taken in a studio before, and he was just a total, like, peach about it. He was so great, and we have become friends, and I actually, the song that's coming out at the end of January called Strawberry Fields is inspired by one of his stories. So those pictures have just, I don't know, they have just become this really special kind of accompaniment to the project and the story.
Well, we also have that photo up on Empower as well, so that you all know what we're looking at. And I really want you to look at that picture and look into the eyes.
Yeah.
You know, one is Leah's and one is this man's. But what's so, I guess, what comes to the forefront for me is that there is a story in both, and you guys are family in a different way. There's
yes.
a connection there that can't be explained.
Yes. Yeah. That's so accurate. And I think I knew when I started this that the interview process was going to bring these really powerful connections, but I didn't anticipate making so many friends.
Mm.
And that has been really cool. One of the best parts, I think, are the relationships that I've formed with the people that I interviewed.
And I know everybody, in case you just joined us, we're talking to Leah Nobel, and music is on SoundCloud and Spotify.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Thank and you. iTunes and Amazon and all that jazz.
And all the rest of it. And
yeah.
So what's going to be the next process? In other words, we've got Christmas in My Mind, you're working on Strawberry, if you're doing all of this.
Yeah.
When you're getting ready to create the next song, what's the process?
Yes. Yeah, well, so my writing process has been kind of just this magical exchange between my brain and my notes. So all the interviews, I recorded them just on my iPhone, and then I transcribed them. And so when I read through my notes, I'm just looking for things that jump out at me. I'm looking for reoccurring themes or something that tugs at my heart or just one of those light bulb moments. And so it sounds so woo-woo, but it's just been really magical. Like, I sift through my notes, and whatever jumps out at me, I just will, you know, write about that. And it's come surprisingly easy. I think I had a lot of fear in the beginning that I wouldn't be able to write from somebody else's perspective or that I wouldn't do them justice. But mm-hmm. it's been, I don't know, pretty magical for me. But yeah, so Strawberry Fields comes out at the end of January, and through this whole process, so the past year, I've been writing, and pretty soon I will have met my goal. I wanted to write 30 songs, and then we'll pick the best 12 for the record. So I'm almost there.
And it is very exciting. And as you're sitting there and creating, do you believe this is just off the cuff, that there's anyone
yeah.
that has crossed over on the other side that helps you when you get ready to do all that writing?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that where I feel like the magic has happened is when I take notes, am writing my notes in first person, like for everything. So if I spoke to somebody and they said, you know, my son is in the military and I feel sad when he leaves, then that's what I write in my notes. My son is in the military and I feel sad when he leaves. Mm-hmm. And it's in that exchange from me to that person written out in my notes where I feel like I'm being taught true empathy. Because I am now writing not from my judgment and not from my point of view, but from theirs. And it's solidified in my notes. And so that is like the catalyst for me in terms of kicking off this magical process.
And do you have any superstitions when you're getting ready? Like some people are like, I have to sit in this exact chair and do that exact thing before I get going.
No, I don't have any superstitions when I'm writing. But when I perform, I like to take off my shoes. Makes me more comfortable. So
nice.
That's kind of funny, but
unless you're performing outside in Michigan in January,
right. That could be dangerous.
That would be very bad. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Are you still, is it ever hard to get excited to get up and do this every day?
I want to say no, cause I'm just so into this project and I've been really consumed by it, but sometimes I get deterred by just all the busy work that came with it, like all the paperwork and the way I have to organize things and the transcription of notes. Sometimes I don't feel like doing that, but I, you know, you just have to make yourself sit down and do the work, even if it's for half hour segments. You know,
Yeah, because we want all the fun stuff, but all the
all
the other
but
things.
But it came with a lot of other stuff, yeah.
And
but,
see, okay. And Maximo just gets to be a star. So, what kind of work did Maximo have to do?
Maximo is just like a lover. So any opportunity he gets to be near a human or be on their lap, he's in. So I don't think he was fazed at all by the camera. He loves it.
Well, I hope he got some extra treats, you know, or did he have a special like rider, like, oh, in order for me to be in this video, I'm going to need
peanut butter.
Yes, definitely.
Bone.
Does he do popcorn too?
He will pretty much eat anything that you give him, but I try not to because he gets kind of naughty. Like he breaks into the trash can and does stuff like that. And I feel like the more table food I feed him, the more he misbehaves. So I have to kind of limit it.
That's right. Well, he is adorable. Well, we have come down to the end of our show here where we get ready to do what's called the RL3, which is real life three. Three silly, goofy questions that you have graciously agreed to answer, not knowing what I'm going to ask you. So I like that. Here we go. Here's your first one. Other than your own, whose Facebook page do you visit the most?
Other than my own, whose Facebook page do I visit the most?
Or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you want to use.
Oh, well, one of my favorite Instagrams is a handle called Mama's Gone City. And it's these pictures of this woman's adorable children napping with their dog.
Of course, there's dogs there.
Right.
Of course there is. This question came about because you said, well, you can find out if she stalks anybody. I'm like, what? Why would? No. So okay. So I like that. Mama's Gone City.
Mama's Gone City. And it's weird. Like social media gives you this complex of false reality. I feel emotionally attached to her and her children, and it's weird. I don't even know her. I like go to her page every day to look at her pictures. So maybe that is some version of stalking, but at least it's with good intention.
Oh, I love it. All right, here is your second question. What one bad habit would you like to conquer?
One bad habit. Gosh, I feel like I have a lot of bad habits. I actually am conquering one of my bad habits right now, which is I have a really bad sweet tooth and eat a lot of sugar. And I've kicked off 2017 by doing the Whole 30, which is like a nutritional reset kind of diet where you don't eat sugar. So that's one of them I would like to kick because it's not good for me.
Oh, man. I'm surprised some of your songs aren't angry. I get him. Like she's writing, going, why are they all angry?
Right?
I don't know.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is where we find out your fantasy name. And there's two ways to find out the fantasy name. So we're going to find out both of them. The first one is the name of your very first pet in the street you grew up on?
That would be Charlie Myrtle.
Oh, Charlie Myrtle. He sounds like he owns the corner hardware store. So
right.
That's good. I love Charlie Myrtle.
Yes.
And the other one, a little more personal, the color of your underwear and the last food you just ate.
Okay. I got to figure out what the color of my underwear is. Pink. Pink squash.
Okay, that somehow. Oh yeah,
doesn't sound right.
No, my producer said it sounds like maybe a guitar in a really cool band. It's Pink Squash, or the name of a band. Pink Squash. No.
Pink Squash. Hey man, want to go see Pink Squash tonight?
Totally, I do.
Cool.
Well, we've been speaking to Leah Nobel, and we're very excited that you've shared your music with us and your time and energy, and I hope everybody really supports you and supports the process of this album. We are going to have all the links on our website, and thank you again, and much success with this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful.